Amen. Turning today in our Bible to Acts chapter 8. 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please keep praying for the Thompson family. Brother Johnny Thompson still in a coma, not responding. And continue to remember them. Also the Fowler family, the Stutz family. Remember Mr. Fowler in the prayers also. Both of these are in a coma needing help from the Lord. Amen. But we still know a God that heals. Anybody still believe in miracles?
Yes,
what an opportunity for God to do a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 8. I want to go down about to the 36th verse. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Hallelujah. I'd like to talk just a few minutes today about how God responds to a hungry heart. How God responds to a hungry heart. The Lord bless you. May be seated. We spend the majority of our time preaching about Peter and James and John and Paul and Jesus. Amen. But every now and then, we need to look at some people like Philip. You know, Philip was, he was chosen to be a deacon to start with in the church at Jerusalem. They were having some problems. And so the Bible said, "Seek out 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. So that's what we know about Philip. We know that he had a good report. He had a good reputation. And we know that Philip was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And after persecution came to the church in Jerusalem, the Bible says that people started kind of spreading out. And you know, Philip went down, and he was the very first person that we have recorded in Scripture that preached the gospel to the Samaritans. Now, if you remember, the Samaritans were hated of the Jews. They just didn't get along. Their history went way back. Back to a time when there were difficulties and the northern tribes of Israel, whose capital was in Samaria, were taken into Assyrian captivity, 722 B.C., a long time before the southern tribes fell. They fell in about 606 and 586. And so they went into captivity, and the way they did this, normally the Syrians would take the majority of the people, especially the leadership, and they would take them away to their capital. And then they would send other people from their country, the Assyrians, to live in that region. And they would intermingle with the poor folks that were there. And they would wipe out their identity because they would intermingle with them. And they would start teaching them their culture. They would teach them their language. They would intermarry with them until eventually in time their identity was blotted out. And so that's what happened to the Samaritans. The Samaritans one time were Jews. But they lost their identity because they intermarried and they intermingled so much with the Assyrians that they lost their identity and became Samaritans. They lost everything. But the southern tribe didn't do that. Even though they went into captivity, they remained distinctive in their doctrine and distinctive in their relationship with God and distinctive in their language and distinctive in their culture and separated. They didn't allow themselves to lose their identity. There's a good lesson there somewhere, folks. The Bible said we are in this world, but we are not of this world. As a matter of fact, I think it said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So the Bible tells us that we are to be separate in this world. We are to be lights in the world. We are to be the bread of life in this world. We're to be a sign and a witness in this world. And in order to do that, we have to be separate from this world. Amen. And so that's what happened to the Samaritans. So the Jews despised them because they lost their identity and didn't want anything to do with them. And that was not the way to treat anybody, by the way. That wasn't right. You don't hate somebody and despise them just because they're different than you are. Isn't that right? But the Jews did, and they were wrong in doing that. We're not going to excuse that. That was wrong. They treated them bad, and it was wrong to treat them bad. They might could have won them back if they would have treated them right. You don't treat people bad by bashing them and making fun of them and separating yourself from them and sticking your nose up in there thinking you're better than them. We'll never win the world like that. Praise God. We'll never win the world like that. You win them by loving them. By remembering the pit from which you were digged and where you came from and how the Lord was merciful and good to you. That's how you're going to win people to God. And so they had problems. But Philip, when he got full of the Holy Ghost, I thought, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll make you do things you wouldn't ordinarily do. It'll tear down barriers. It'll make you love everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll make you love folks you didn't think you could love before. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what happened to Philip. He got so full of the Holy Ghost, he went right down to Samaria and started preaching. And he didn't even have permission. Nobody told him he could do it. Isn't it amazing that Peter didn't do that? And John didn't do that? And James didn't do that? Amen. None of the apostles did that. It was just the deacon in the church that got preaching in his bones. He did that. And he went down. Did he have any results? Oh yeah. Look at this. The Bible says Philip made his way down to Samaria in the 5th verse and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord. Everybody say one accord. Man, did he ever have results. Everybody was listening to him. With one accord gave heed to the things Philip spoke, seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. A deacon? That's what it said, that he was doing miracles among them. Look at this. And one of the big wigs, his name was Simon, started believing. Amen. It said, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voices came out of many that were possessed of them, and many were taken with palsies, or that is paralysis, and were lame. They were healed. And then it says, and there was great joy in the city. Let me tell you something. When you preach Jesus, it ought to make people happy. Hallelujah. People respond to the gospel. There'll be joy. Amen. I think there ought to be joy in the church. Hallelujah. This ought to be the most joyful place on the planet right here. Yes, it is. It ought to be. Praise God. People respond to joy. People like joy. Amen. They like to go to happy places. And they do. Amen. You know why people go to nightclubs? A lot of them because they think they're going to find joy there. A lot of music. And they drink enough, they can start getting a little happy. Smoke the right kind of stuff, it helps them to forget their worries for a little while. Shoot or snort something, it'll help them get started a little while. Of course, there's always tomorrow. It all comes crashing down. But it's a substitute. That's why they do it. That's why they do it. And they live for the next time they can do that same thing again, because that's the only joy they know. What they don't realize is there's a joy that you can have every morning when you wake up. Amen. And you can keep it all day long. Amen. And there's never any hangovers or hang-ups. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's joy in the morning. It's joy at noon. It's joy at night. Amen. You can have the joy of the Lord even in times of difficulty and trial and trouble. Praise God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to say there's not going to be any tears. There's going to be some tears. But even when there's tears on the inside, there's a peace that passes understanding. And you'll find yourself humming and whistling and singing when you ought to be. You don't understand why in the world am I doing this. My culture tells me I'm not supposed to be happy in a time like this. Amen. I'm supposed to be miserable. People think I'm supposed to, you know, be acting horrible and down in the dumps. But instead, I can't help it. This song keeps coming up on the inside. What am I going to do? Sing it. Hallelujah. A hallelujah wants to get out. What's going to happen? Let it go. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have joy even in the bad times. Praise. So there was joy in the city. Amen. There was this guy named Simon there that he also started believing. The Bible says they believed Philip and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Now, why were they baptized? Well, he must have preached about baptism, I suppose. If he preached the gospel, he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached what Peter preached. He preached repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what he preached. And that's what they received. And that's what they were happy. Now listen, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Can you still be happy before you get the Holy Ghost? Brother R.E. Johnson said it better than anybody ever heard. Somebody said, well, they said, you know, I never talked in tongues, but I got joy. Why am I happy? He said, you're happy because of what you got rid of, not what you got. You know, you can get rid of some things, it'll make you happy. You ever worked all day in some big old heavy clodhopper boots, and your feet are hot and sweaty and stinky, and they're hurting, and you come home, and boy, you take those old clodhoppers off, and you wiggle your toes, and you go, woo, that feels good. You don't feel good because of what you got. You feel good because of what you got rid of. Amen. And that's what happens when you repent of sin. When you repent of sin, you get joy, not because you got something, but because you got rid of something. Hallelujah. You got rid of the burden of sin. You got rid of the guilt and the shame of sin. You got rid of the shackles of sin. And because of that, you have joy. Hallelujah. Anybody remember feeling joy when you repented? Anybody remember feeling clean and joyful when you got baptized? Even before you got the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter and John came down. Why? Because they had the keys. Amen. Praise God. Came down, opened the door, folks started getting the Holy Ghost. I just want to say that today because Philip was a deacon in the church, but look what kind of revival he had. You can't stand around and wait for somebody else. You just sit, keep, if you're one of those people saying, you know, I just think, well, you know, things ought to be going different. Well, get out and do something then. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. You know, I think we ought to be doing more. Then do it. Amen. Be a Philip. I won't get mad at you. If you come in here Wednesday night and said, Brother Grissom, I didn't ask permission, I'm sorry, but I went and taught a Bible study and six people got the Holy Ghost and want to be baptized Wednesday night, you think I'm going to get upset about that? Brother Grissom, I went down to the hospital and the Lord laid on my heart to pray for somebody. I prayed for them. God healed them. They got up out of the bed. And hallelujah. The whole family's coming to church Wednesday night. You think I'm going to get upset about that? Amen. Let's go ahead and have revival, folks. Be a Philip. He just went down there and started preaching and the word worked. Hallelujah. When you preach the word of God, it'll work. When you preach the gospel, it'll work. Wasn't Peter preaching it? Or John or Philip? Or even Paul. Paul wasn't even saved yet. Amen. But my revival was breaking out because somebody wanted to do something. He listened to the Holy Ghost. And then, listen to this. Now, this was a revival that he started. I mean, looking at it in the natural like a lot of people do. Amen. But then all of a sudden, right in the middle of this big revival going on, and it got bigger and bigger, and right in the middle of that, God said to Philip, he said, I want you to go down to the desert now. And if he was like some folks, he would have said, but Lord, this is my revival. It was my idea to come down here. I'm the one that started all this. Peter and John's getting all the credit, but hey, I was the one that came down here first. Amen. If you have revival, it's not a Philip revival. It's not a John or a Peter revival. It's a Jesus revival. And if it's any other kind of revival, it's not worth having, and it's not going to last. It's got to be Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Philip, you know, we don't read anywhere he was upset about that. Amen. He said, all right, Lord. And so he left the big revival that was going on in Samaria, and he went out in the middle of the desert somewhere. And he was down there at the intersection, and all of a sudden this guy come by in this nice, fancy Cadillac chariot. Amen. If he's like a lot of us, he'd say, oh, he don't need anything. He wouldn't be interested in this. He's too rich for this. Boy, look at that. Look at that chariot. Woo! Wow, that's a pretty chariot. No, this is just for poor downtrodden folks here. He wouldn't want none of this. Huh? No, this is not for bankers and lawyers and doctors and politicians. Amen. This is just for poor folks. That's it. This is for everybody. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. It's for everybody, folks. It fits everybody. Amen. Now, the Lord told Philip, now get this. Now, listen closely. He told Philip to join himself to chariot. Now, that was a 70-mile journey, and he made that on foot. Would you walk 70 miles to save a soul? Now, listen carefully before you answer that question. Will you go next door to save a soul? Will you go across town to save a soul? Boy, it's quiet here. I can hear the gears grinding. I can hear the, oh me. Amen. But he went 70 miles to save a soul. The Lord spoke to him. Has the Lord ever spoke to you? You think he can do it again? Would you really like for him to? Have you asked him to lately? Have you done what he said? Hey, boy, this is quiet. This is supposed to be a shouting sermon, folks. It's a little getting too quiet here. So he goes down 70 miles. That's a long ways, isn't it? But you know what? The man that he went to see, you know how far he traveled? Over 1,000 miles. He was in a Cadillac chariot, but it was still a chariot. It was pulled by an old stinking horse. It was a rough ride. He was way off in Ethiopia. The Bible says that this man was a eunuch. That means he was extremely consecrated at his job. He focused on business. Yes, he did. He was sold out. He was the secretary of the treasury for the country of Ethiopia. His boss, his direct boss, was the queen. He was over all the money. That's a pretty high position. You don't put a dunce in charge of that. At least usually. We've had some foxes guarding our hen house. But anyway, the treasury was under his direct control. This was a man that was extremely high up in the government of Ethiopia. He was an educated man. He was a wealthy man. He was an influential man. He was a respected man. He was a powerful individual. But he had a hunger. He had a hunger. And the Bible says he went over all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, over 1,000 miles in a chariot. You know why he went to Jerusalem? The Bible says he went there to worship God. That's all he knew. He didn't know a whole lot. They had gods in Ethiopia. They had religion in Ethiopia. They had churches in Ethiopia. But it wasn't what he was looking for. He said, I don't want any of that. I know all about that. But he heard about one God. Hallelujah. And he heard about this one God that expected some things out of you. And he heard about this one God that loved you. And when he heard about him, he said, that's the God I want to worship. Amen. I want to worship a God that will change me. I want to worship a God that's worthy of my worship. So he went all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. And here's the interesting thing. Both they were having revival in Jerusalem, but he didn't get the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. He didn't even hear the gospel in Jerusalem, apparently. But he was riding home after he'd already been to Jerusalem. He'd already worshipped God. He still had a hunger in his heart. And the Bible said they were riding along. Apparently his driver was driving the chariot. And he's sitting there and he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he comes across Isaiah 53 when it talks about the suffering servant. And all of a sudden, right out in the middle of the desert, boom, this preacher pops up. I've heard people say, well, you know, if God really demands all that, what about people that never had a chance to hear? Here's one of them. How much chance is there to hear out in the middle of the desert? Up pops this preacher. And he's running along beside the chariot. The Bible says he ran to him. I said he ran. He was not reluctant. He ran to him. And he's running along beside the chariot. And he said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy looks up. Sees this preacher, tongue hanging out. And he said, how can I except somebody explains it to me? And he said, hey, stop the chariot. Put on the brakes. Chariot stops. Philip pops in and does a Bible study right there on the spot. And the Bible says, beginning right there at Isaiah, I could preach Jesus from Isaiah 53. You better believe you can. He said, starting with that text right there, he preached Jesus to him. He didn't preach Isaiah. He didn't preach Judaism. He preached Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me tell you what he was preaching. Philip must have had a very narrow sermon catalog. Because he did the same thing here that he did in Samaria. They're riding along and for some reason all of a sudden the man says, hey, there's some water out in the middle of the desert. Everybody say in the middle of the desert. In the middle of the desert. There's some water. And he says, hey, why can't I be baptized? What's hindering me from being baptized? Well, why did he say that? Apparently, somewhere Philip must have preached some baptism. Somewhere he heard some baptism. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they stopped. Amen. The Bible says, and they both went down into the water. Everybody say into. And he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they came up out of the water. So that tells me that baptism in the New Testament was done by immersion. Hallelujah. Because they went down into. He didn't just scoop out a little water and sprinkle it on him. Would have been a whole lot easier. Of course, if I was out in the middle of the desert, I'd probably want to get in the water too. But they went down into the water. He baptized him in the name of the Lord. They came up out of the water. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, and here's an interesting word, it says, caught away Philip. That word caught away is the same word in the book of Corinthians when it says that the church is caught away. In other words, it's saying that the Spirit raptured Philip. That's the word we use. From there. And the next time we see him, he's down the road in another little town and he's preaching the gospel. And he preaches all the way back home. Hallelujah. He was one more preaching machine. May his tribe increase. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that the Ethiopian rejoiced and went his way rejoicing. All the way home, he was rejoicing. And did you know that you can trace the church in Ethiopia all the way back to an unknown ancestor? I believe it was him. I believe he carried that same gospel home. Hallelujah. And the church was founded in Ethiopia by an unnamed man. All we know is that he was a government official. But he got to testifying. He got to witnessing, telling people at home about what he'd received. And they started getting it too. Hallelujah. Amen. When God finds a hungry heart, he'll send a preacher. He'll make sure that you have an opportunity to hear the truth. And when you hear it, you hear me. When you hear it, it will ring true in your heart. You may have heard a lot of different messages. You may have gone to a lot of different kinds of churches. You may have heard a whole lot of different kinds of ideas. But when you hear the truth, it's going to ring true in your heart and you're going to know that you've heard the truth. Because God always responds to a hungry heart. God always responds to a hungry heart. He drew this man over 1,000 miles just so he could hear this gospel message. Amen. Now, why he chose the desert, I don't know, but he did. God always responds to a hungry heart. I heard of a preacher driving along the road one day, and the Lord told him to stop his car and get out and preach. I mean, he's out in the middle of nowhere. He thought, what an odd request. But he knew the Holy Ghost, and he knew the Lord spoke, and he said, all right, this is weird, but I'll do it. He got out, and he just preached his little heart out. Got in his car, nothing happened. How could it? Got in his car and drove on. Amen. Sometime later, he was preaching in a church, and this man came up to him after church, and he said, do you remember such and such time? He said, you were driving in such and such place, and he said, and you just got out of your car and started preaching? He said, yeah, I've always wondered about that. He said, I was sleeping in a culvert under the road, and I heard every word you said. And he said, and the Lord got a hold of my heart that day. And he said, and I found this church. And I obeyed the gospel that you preached. And he said, I'd always hoped that I'd have an opportunity to thank you for just doing what the Lord told you to do. Amen. God has a way of responding to a hungry heart. God has a way of responding to a hungry heart. Amen. My mom used to pick up some Sunday school children. And she'd pick them up for Sunday school, take them to church. And one day when she dropped the kids off, when she dropped them off, the father of those children came out of the house. He was shaking with anger. His face was red. His fists were clenched. He was so angry. He said, don't you ever pick up my children again and take them to that Pentecostal church. Oh, he was angry with her. She was afraid that he was going to actually strike her. He was so angry, shaking with anger. Well, she didn't pick it up anymore at the house. But they'd just go visit a neighbor, just happened to be there. And they just happened by. And they just happened to want to go to church. Amen. And so they kept going to church. Many, many years passed by. And one day, my mom had a dream. In this dream, she saw this man. And he was in flames. And he was crying out, somebody help me. Somebody please help me. More than 20 years had passed. But she instantly recognized who the man was. She remembered the name. She got the phone book, looked him up, found the address, still lived in the town. She got one of the ladies in the church. Of course, she was a little fearful. Who wouldn't be? But she knew the Lord had spoken. So they went to see this man. When they knocked on the door, invited him in, she told him about her dream, what the Lord had showed her. And the man began to weep. He said, I have emphysema, and began to name his health problems. He said, I don't have long to live. And he said, I'm so afraid to die. And so Mom and Sister Snodgrass witnessed to the man and invited him to come to the church, prayed with him. The man came, he and his wife. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He got baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He just lived a few months, went on to be with the Lord. But he left this whole world shouting victory. Amen. But a man that one time was filled with wrath, but at some point along the way, he got a hunger in his heart. And God went way back in history and said, you remember this little old lady that you run off of your property? He said, that's the one I'm going to send to you. Amen. You've witnessed to somebody somewhere. God may send you again. You might not have had a favorable report from the last time. Don't give up. Don't give up. God can talk to a hungry heart. God will respond to a hungry heart. Let's stand together. Does anybody here, you got a hunger on the inside? Hallelujah. Is there something on the inside saying, you know what, I wish I could really know God. I've heard so much about Him, so many different things. I would really like to know Him personally. Amen. If you have a hunger to know the Lord today, He has a hunger to know you. And you're in the right place, and this is the right time. Amen. It would be real good today If you would just respond to what you're feeling right now. There's a gentle voice that's speaking. And it's saying, come to me. Come to me. There's something on the inside that's saying what you're feeling, what you just hear is right. You can know me today. If you'll just respond to what you're feeling and respond to the Word of God. There's an altar here for somebody this morning. It's a place that you can get your heart right with God. All of the wrong, all of the sin that you've committed, if you'll just come and confess it, just tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me. The Bible said, if we confess our sin, He's just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you'll confess it, He'll forgive it. Amen. Then the Bible tells us that He'll fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Amen. You'll be baptized calling on the name of Jesus, and He'll wash away all of your sins forever. Amen. Praise God. If that sounds like something you want today, something that you need, here's an altar. Let's come and pray. Let's come and talk to the Lord here today. He's in this place. Amen. He's here right now. He's here right now. He's talking to somebody right now. Listen to His voice. Amen. I promise you that it'll be the best thing that you've ever done in all of your life if you'll just respond to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody, come on right now. Step out. You know the Lord's talking. Hallelujah. Listen to it. Listen to it. Oh, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Whatever's necessary, you'll respond to a hungry heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Name above all names. Beautiful. Glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us.